And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given us. God, I pray that you just be with us here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would give me wisdom. God, I ask that you would just fill me with your spirit and do what only you can do, and that's to speak to hearts. God, I just pray that you would challenge someone tonight, Lord, as you've challenged me. Use me, Lord, and I just ask that you give us a good night. In your name I pray. Amen. In this passage, Stephen, he's at the temple in Jerusalem, and he's preaching to the council. And they're questioning him, and he started preaching, and he was accused of blaspheming the name of Moses and God. And the council, they were set up to try to falsely accuse Stephen so that they could kill him and so that they could put him to death. And when we look at this, we see that it's very similar to Christ's trial and what happened to Christ when he was here on this earth. We see that both of them had false accusers, and both of them had people set up to falsely accuse them to be killed. And both of them were innocent. Both of them were obeying God and were faithful to God. And in this sermon to the council, Stephen, he's giving a history of the people of Israel to the council, to the priests at the temple. And he starts from Abraham and he goes all the way to David. And specifically here he's talking about Moses. And he points out, beforehand, he points out the sins of these people, their fathers. He points out how they turned their backs on God and how they were disobedient. He tells the Israelites how they turned from God to Egypt in their hearts in this passage. And that's what I want to focus on tonight, is when they turned their backs on God and when God turned from them. In verse 42 it says, then God turned. And that's what I want to focus on in this message, is when God turned. And so first I want to see why the Israelites turned from God. Why they turned from God in their hearts, as this passage says. First I want to point out that the Israelites, they were not unified. If you look in verse 25 of this passage through 28, it says, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Moses, he comes and he tries to set the people of Israel free, and he comes to see that the children of Israel are fighting with each other, and they're not unified. And they thrust out Moses, and they don't accept his leadership. The children of Israel were not unified. And because they were not unified, they didn't accept God's choice of a leader for them. And they had to wait another 40 years until they're delivered out of Egypt. They were not unified as a people. And this caused them to be without deliverance from Egypt for 40 years. And as children of God, as a church, we can see that we need to be unified. As a church, there's no reason for hatred towards one another or infighting. We need to be unified as a church and as Christians. Just as the Israelites were not unified, it postponed their deliverance from Egypt. It postponed God's deliverance of them from Egypt. And if we're not unified as a church, if we're not unified as a body of Christ, we're not going to have victory over sin. We're not going to have victory over our own personal sins because we're not unified. Are we unified in our doctrine and our plans, our goals? Do we have a common goal to see people saved? That should be a goal of each and every one of us, is to see people saved, to reach out to others and to give the gospel, to be an encouragement to one another. Are we unified in our desires. We need to be unified by the Spirit of God. And so we see that the children of Israel, they were not unified in this passage. And that was the first reason that they turned from God that I want to look at, is they were not unified. And secondly, I want to point out, they were not submitted to God. The children of Israel were not submitted to God and His plan. And we can see this in verse 27. It says, "But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us?" The children of Israel weren't submitted to the leadership that God had for them. They did not want to be led by Moses out of Egypt. There was fighting amongst each other. They weren't submitted to God, and they didn't want to be led by Moses. And I believe this attitude is carried through in the children of Israel. It's carried through, and you can see in verse 39, it says, in verse 39, this attitude is carried through. It says, "To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turn back again into Egypt." They weren't submitted to God. They were still following Moses physically. We can see that as they go through the wilderness, they're following Moses in the wilderness, and they're doing what he asks them physically. But Stephen points out in his sermon to the council that they weren't following God in their hearts. They had turned their back from God in their hearts. It says, they had turned their back from God in their hearts. They weren't submitted to God. They were going the opposite direction from what God wanted in their hearts. They had no desire to please or to follow God, even after all that God had done for them. They had just come through, they had just escaped Egypt and all the plagues. They watched God do all of these plagues for them to see that, to get them out of Egypt. God had done all these things for them. They crossed the Red Sea. God had provided manna for them in the wilderness. God had provided water for them. And yet they still had no desire to follow God. They had no desire to please God or to be submitted to His will. And how many times I look at my own life, how many times have I, or how many times have we, turned our back on God when He's done so much for us? When we look back and we see all that God has done for us. He's saved us. He's given us a good church or a good family. And so many times we don't want to follow God. We don't want to do His will, and we don't want to do what He asks of us. And we don't follow God in our hearts. What's got a hold of our hearts? Some people, money has a hold of their heart. Some people, position has a hold of their heart, or popularity, or things of this life, or entertainment. Different things can get a hold of our heart and make us not submitted to God, and make us turn our back on God, make us turn from God in our hearts. We'll still be following God. We'll still go to church and serve in our ministries. We'll still be faithful to church, but in our hearts, we're not right with God, and we're just doing it because everyone else is doing it, or we do it because that's how our parents have done it, or we do it because that's the way we're taught to do it. But are we truly following God in our hearts? And that's where the Israelites were at here. They were doing what they were told. They were following Moses physically, but they had turned from God in their heart. And God wants to bless us, and He wants to guide us, but we need to follow Him and be obedient to Him. And when I think about it, you know, having a close walk with God, it's not complicated. It's not complicated, but so many times it seems like it's the hardest thing for us to do because of this flesh, and because we follow the things of this world and we follow our flesh more than we do God. And so we see that they turned because they were not submitted to God, they were not unified, and thirdly, they did not have an understanding of God and His plan. If you look at verse 25, they turned their backs because they did not have an understanding of God. It says, "For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not." Moses knew what God wanted. Moses knew that God wanted him to deliver the children of Israel. And he figured that the children of Israel would understand that as well. He figured, since he knew it, that the children of Israel would understand as well. But we see they did not understand that. says, but they understood not. They didn't understand that Moses was sent to deliver them. And I believe because they were not submitted, because they were not unified, they weren't in the will of God, they didn't have that understanding that comes with being obedient to God and being faithful to God. Their hearts were still in Egypt. Their hearts weren't where God, their hearts weren't with God, it was in Egypt, and they didn't understand God's will. And when we're not following God's will, when we're not submitted to His will, when we're not obedient to Him, we won't understand what God has for us. We won't understand the path or the plan, the purpose that He has for our life. When we're living for this world, the children of Israel, we're living for Egypt. Their heart was still in Egypt, and Egypt is a sign of this world. And when our hearts are in this world, when everything we do, everything we think is about this world or the pleasures of this world, that's what we're going to follow. We're not going to follow God's will. We're not going to know God's will because our heart is not with God. They were not unified. They were not submitted to God. And they did not understand God's will. And secondly, I want to look at what did they do when they turned? What did the children of Israel do when they turned from God? If you look at verse 40, it says, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses, which brought us up, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. They made idols. It says in verse 40, they made idols. The children of Israel made idols to serve when they turned their backs on God and they no longer wanted to follow God because they had turned their hearts away from Him. They weren't content with the plan that that God had for them. They weren't content to follow Him. They weren't content with the plan that God had for them. And so they worshipped idols instead of God. They worshipped the gods of Egypt, the gods of this world. That's what they worshipped. When we get away from God, when we stop living for God, when we get away from what we know is right to do, from the Bible, from knowing what we're supposed to do according to God's Word, when we get away from those things, just like the children of Israel, we'll start to worship idols. It's not going to be a carved idol that we make, probably, but it'll be something as simple as a phone or a computer or a job, maybe, or promotion. Those things can become idols to us. Those things are something that becomes more important to us than following God or being obedient to Him. Those are idols in our lives. Today, it's money, position, entertainment, activities. Anything that gets us away from being faithful to God or stepping out in faith to follow Him, doing what He asks us to do, anything that pulls us away from those things become idols to us. And secondly, when they turned their backs on God, they stopped waiting on God. Verse 40, again, says, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Moses is up on Mount Sinai, and he's getting the law from God on Mount Sinai. And Aaron's down with the children of Israel, and he's up there for 40 days. And the children of Israel get impatient when we read in the Bible. We see that the children of Israel are getting impatient, and they stop waiting on God. They're waiting for Moses to come down. And they lose their patience. They lose their faith in God, and so they make this idol. They make this idol to worship instead of worshiping God. They were not only content, they were not only not content to follow God, they were not content to wait on God. They were not content to wait on God. As Christians, we need to be careful that we do not lose our faith in God. Sometimes God asks us to wait for Him, to have faith in Him. With the plans that He has for our lives, there's times when He'll ask you to do something and you don't understand why, or He might have a plan for you, you don't know what that is, and you're waiting for God to show you. And And you want to know now, but we need to have faith in God and we need to wait on God. We need to have faith that He'll show us what that is. And we need to have faith and trust Him and be obedient to Him. The children of Israel, they lost their faith in God and they served idols instead. Instead of being faithful to God and continuing to do what He asked them, they served idols. When it seems like God is quiet, it's because He's working. And we need to be patient for Him to show us the next step to take in our life. When you're tempted to stop waiting on God and to stop having faith in Him, that's when the flesh and the devil start telling you to quit and to stop waiting on God. When it seems like God's not working, the devil and this flesh will tell us, don't trust God, don't have faith in Him. But that's when God is working. We need to be patient and we need to be faithful to God in those times. God will open the doors that He has for you if you simply have faith and trust Him. And thirdly, when they turn their back on God, we see that they lifted up themselves. In verse 41 it says, "And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands." They rejoiced in the works of their own hands. When they stopped living for God and they made an idol to worship, they started to rejoice in their own works instead of the things that God had done for them. Instead of glorifying God for His provision for them in the wilderness with the manna or with the water, or instead of praising God for His deliverance from Egypt or through the Red Sea, instead of praising God for those things, they lost their sight of the goodness of God and they lifted up their own good works. They lifted up the things that they had done themselves and they stopped glorifying God. They lifted up their own works, the Bible says. When we lose sight of God and when we turn our backs on God and we stop following Him, a lot of times you see people start to lift themselves up and they start to lift up their own works and the things that they do. A lot of times when you see someone talking about all that they have done in their lives, all the wealth that they have, they say, "I have all these things, look what I did to get this." It's usually because they're not following God, because they don't acknowledge God's blessing in their life. God had delivered Israel. God had provided for Israel through this time, and yet they lost sight of that. And they started to lift up their own good works instead of God's good works towards them. The Bible tells us that God sees our own works as filthy rags. And sometimes when we begin to praise ourselves, I think we should ask ourselves, when we start to lift up our own good works and the things that we have done, just think God is looking down and saying, "Why are you lifting up your own good works? Those are filthy rags to me." We need to be thanking God for the things that He has done for us and realize that the blessing and the provision in our lives, the deliverances in our lives, those are from God and not ourselves. And thirdly, I want to look at what was God's response to Israel when they turned their backs on God. God's response to Israel when they turned their backs on Him. After all this, and after the children of Israel turned their backs on God, the Bible says God turned from Israel. This is a very sad verse. It says, "Then God turned." And it just got done talking about how Israel had turned their back on God. After all this that God had done for them, Israel turned their backs on God, and God still wanted them to get right with Him, to repent and turn back to Him. But they would not. They rebelled against God. And the Bible says that God turned from Israel. That God turned. God ultimately gave them up to the gods that they wanted to worship. He gave Israel what they wanted. When it says that God turned from them, it doesn't mean that God no longer loved them or wanted them to turn back to Him, but it means that He was no longer going to try and turn them towards Him. He wasn't going to try to turn them back to Him. He allowed them to serve the false gods that they wanted to serve because they had been unfaithful and because they were unrepentant toward Him for such a long time. Unfaithfulness to God and not being submitted to Him, lifting up ourselves and worshiping other things besides God or more than God and losing sight of His goodness. All of these things will lead us to, ultimately, they lead us to God ultimately allowing us to live the life that we want, to live the life that we desire. If we live against God long enough and we go against Him long enough and we rebel against Him, we don't acknowledge His goodness, we're disobedient to Him outright, God will allow us to live the life that we want. I've seen it many times. People, they get away from God. They stop doing what they know what's right to do. They get out of church and they're not faithful. They're rebellious towards God outright. In public, they're rebellious towards God, and God gives them over to that lifestyle. God allows them to live that lifestyle. And this is what happened to the children of Israel. God allowed them to serve those false gods. And God doesn't want to see you or I living like this. God doesn't want us to get to this point where we are no longer serving Him. God doesn't want us to get to the point where we're not faithful to Him or obedient to Him. God wants to be close with us, and He wants to have a walk with us. God wants to be close to us. He wants to guide us, and He wants to lead us along in this life and to provide for us. But if we've turned our backs on God, like the children of Israel, they turned their back on God. In spite of His goodness and His protection and His provision, they still turned their back on God. And the Bible says that God turned from them. But I'm thankful that the Bible says in verse John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful that God offers forgiveness when we sin against Him, when we rebel against Him. There is a chance for us to return back to God if we would submit to Him, if we would repent and we turn back in faith and we follow God. God wants to see us back following Him. God wants us to come back to Him, to turn our back from the world and to turn back towards God. God wants us to have a close walk with Him. God wants us to be close to Him. And if you've fallen away from God and you've rebelled against Him and you haven't been living a faithful life towards Him, God offers forgiveness and God offers you a chance to come back to Him if you would just repent and submit to Him and turn back towards Him. There's many applications that we can draw from the experiences of the children of Israel in the Bible. And this particular instance teaches us a great lesson that there are consequences when we turn our backs on God. There's a consequence when we stop following God. And we cannot simply sin and get away with it as a Christian. When we sin, God will punish us. God will judge us as Christians. God will correct us to get us back to following Him. And I don't think any Christian intentionally tries to turn their back on God in one instant. I think it's usually a step-by-step process. They put something else before God. They lose faith in God. They stop following Him. They stop being obedient to Him. They stop coming to church. They stop reading their Bible. And before they know it, they've turned their back on God and they've gone the opposite direction. But as I said before, God offers forgiveness. And as the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to have a close walk with us. And as we come into this new year, I just want us to think on this, having a close walk with God and not turning our backs on God, but turning towards Him and following after Him. Being faithful to Him. Be faithful to God in this new year and make a decision to follow Him with your life, to trust Him with your heart and your life and the path that He has for you. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day that You have given us, God. I thank You for this night. I just pray, Lord, that You'd be with us as we go our separate ways to our houses, Lord. Keep us safe. And God, I just pray that You'd be with us this week. Help us to keep our thoughts and our minds stayed on You. Lord, just help us to stay faithful to You, to stay committed to following You, Lord. And I just pray that You'd be with us now as we go our separate ways. In Your name I pray. Amen.